Now, back to the Eric Stewart Show.
Welcome back. Stuart Rosenthal from the Beacon Newspaper joins me. Good morning.
Good morning, Eric. How are you?
Good. Tell us, what's in this month's issue of the Beacon Newspaper?
Well, in our law and money section, we often have stories in there about how to invest your money and keep your money going as long as you do, that kind of thing. So this is an interesting one. I like the title. It says, Crime Doesn't Pay, But Fighting It Does. So there are a lot of businesses out there that are involved in the crime fighting operations, and they actually might be very good things for you to invest in, not only because they are doing good work, but because they're making good money.
Oh.
So, for example, REITs, real estate investment trusts. This is a real estate show, right? Many of them specialize in building and operating private prisons. So many governments now have found that operating prisons and staffing them and keeping them updated and is extremely expensive and whatnot, and that it can be done more efficiently and less costly through private businesses. So there are a number of companies out there that build prisons for various states, and because REITs must pay out at least 90% of their taxable income to shareholders, they end up being really good sources of dividends. So that there's an article about several different, a discussion of several different stocks along those lines that would be interesting. Firearms. Okay, first, federal, state, and local law enforcement officers buy about 100,000 new guns a year. And that's a nice stable base of business for these major companies. But consumers, do you have any idea how many guns consumers buy every year?
No, I don't have any idea.
4.5 million guns.
What? Seriously?
That's what the article says. 4.5 million consumers.
Wow.
Right. So, given that, there's a huge market, and companies like Ruger, Sturm, Ruger & Company, and others, are doing really well providing this kind of thing. And there's a rise in households headed by single women, and they tend to be buying guns for protection. There's a lot of people out there doing that kind of thing now. Third of all, electronic security. Taser, everybody knows about a taser does.
Sure.
It's a stun gun. They've also expanded now into in-dash cameras, which we now know are important to sort of keep an eye on what police are doing and what's happening in traffic stops and whatnot.
Right.
Also interview room videos and other kinds of things. So they are diversifying, and that's a good company apparently. Then there's a couple of companies recommended that are in the cybersecurity realm, which of course is very important now with all the hacking going on.
True.
People need to be very careful about their computer information. So the security companies are doing very well, also uncovering terrorist threats. So take a look at the article if you're interested in investing in these markets. It's some very interesting ideas there.
All right. You can read about that in the Beacon Newspaper, again, online at thebeaconnewspapers.com, or pick up a free copy at about 1,500 locations. You must be very busy running those around.
My back is really strong. I do this all day long.
Good.
Last month, you may remember, I came and talked briefly about the hospital rules, how different it is if you're admitted for observation as opposed to actually appropriately admitted as a patient.
Yes.
And how that has an effect on your insurance. Well, since that was a very important topic, since then, Medicare has actually issued a new rule, which they are now considering for public comment and will go into effect if it passes in November, that is taking account of the problem that we were highlighting last month.
Okay.
So it's very good to know that. And that what they're doing now is they're saying if you've been admitted, if you've been let into the hospital for observation as an outpatient, which means you're not going to be covered by Medicare Part A, you'll be covered instead by Medicare Part B, which covers doctor bills, not hospitalization. Normally that would mean that no matter how long you're in the hospital, and sometimes people could be in the hospital 3, 4, 5 days, and then be released to rehab. Normally, if you're under Part A Medicare, you don't get rehab coverage. So all these people were being admitted for observation. They were kept for a number of days and then actually treated. And then when they were released for rehab, they were told, we're not paying any of your rehab bill. The whole bill is yours, thousands of dollars a day kind of thing.
Wow.
And it was riling people up because they said, why wasn't I admitted as a patient? No one told me I wasn't. Okay. Well, so Maryland last year passed a law that says you have to be told if you're not being admitted as a patient. Virginia just passed the law very recently. But now Medicare is actually changing the rule that if there's a good reason why you weren't admitted, but you were there long enough to have been admitted, if they had made that decision at the beginning, then the doctor can say, look, let's let Medicare cover it, and they will.
Okay.
So they're giving the doctor the control over the matter.
You have to be so alert what to ask for.
And defend yourself.
You can read about this in the Beacon Newspaper. Available at over 1,500 locations. Go to thebeaconnewspapers.com for more information or just call them.
We'll tell you where you can get a copy nearby.
All right. And the number?
It's 301-949-9766.
Great. Stuart, a pleasure to have you as always.
Thank you, Eric.
We've all seen what the stock market's done, and the impact on many of your portfolios is probably felt at this point. Certainly, this is common when you have a significant adjustment in market values. We've seen high reactions in the market to the global, potential global recession brewing in China. We don't know for sure where things are going to go, do we? But we do know that we feel the pain when we see stocks that we've owned for a while that have done so well drop by as much as they have in such a short period of time. So this brings us to the question of moving. And when we have these kind of adjustments, all of a sudden it seems as if someone has taken something from us. I recall meeting with many a client after going on the market and the market not being at the price that we had hoped for. Sometimes we have a wish price. I recommend to my clients to list their homes where the market is rather than overprice it to begin with. But sometimes we don't know. We don't know. There's areas in the D.C. metropolitan area where houses have been sitting, languishing on the market with very little sales result, very little movement on the upside. Even as the market improved from 2009 through 13, we saw areas going up into northern Montgomery County, western Fairfax County, and Loudoun County, and so on, where values actually haven't really risen. There's been a slight increase, but not much, and actually they've been drifting for a couple of years. And if you try too high, you oftentimes have to make an adjustment, and it can feel the same way. It can feel like you'd hoped you were going to get $600,000 for your house, but in reality, it's only worth $5.25. But you based a lot of considerations. We do this normally. We base our considerations on information that we assume is true. When all of a sudden your stock that was 100 drops to 75, you've taken a 25% hit. You're still up a lot on that stock. If you don't need the money, you're not really worried about it. What you want to do is hold that stock for the long term, and that's why you bought it. But as we get older in life, as we look at right sizing, we have to think about how do we need the funds from our stocks in order to make a move into a continuing care retirement community or to use for assisted living purposes or otherwise? This can be a very painful ordeal. We have to be careful. We need to be sure that we understand why we own what we own and that you have good advice. Folks, if you do not have the preferred vendor guide, in this I've got information on some of the businesses that we recommend. We've vetted out everything from painters to carpet people to money managers and whatnot. These are people that I've worked with over the years that I think are good. I personally don't benefit by any of these recommendations. They are all good companies based on my experience. I've had good experience with them, and I just provide them to you kind of like Eric's list of vendors. So as you're thinking through what you have and what you need to do going forward, you may want to consider what your options are and get good advice if you've always done it yourself and you're looking at changes in your life involving real estate, selling a property. Recently listed a home in Alexandria, Virginia. The property, the owner actually had a very incorrect understanding of what they owed on the property. They thought they owed much more than they actually did, and we were concerned. We were faced with a short sale. This was an assumption that the owner made over a period of time that their balance was much higher. They actually missed the mark by a couple $100,000. Wouldn't that be a nice find? Oh, all of a sudden you owe $200,000 less. In reality, some people do not pay attention to what they actually owe, and it would be good for you to be sure of that too. Recently in the journal, the Wall Street Journal, I was reading an article about couples who choose not to marry, just getting another big tax break. So there was a recent major decision by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in California, which allowed a couple who jointly owned two pricey homes, one in Beverly Hills and one in Rancho Mirage, which each could deduct the interest on $1 million of mortgage debt plus $100,000 of home equity debt on their individual tax returns. Well, the couple, one was a noted psychiatrist and the other was an investor's relation executive, were registered partners during the period covered by the case, but they weren't married. So as a result of this decision, the couple's debt limit for interest deductions on their two homes was $2.2 million, or twice the $1.1 million limit for married couples with two homes. The federal court's ruling overturned a tax court decision in favor of the interest in the Internal Revenue Service that limited the taxpayers to interest deductions on $1.1 million in debt. So as you follow, if you're married, on your principal residence, you can write off up to $1 million in borrowed interest. So if you're if you have $1 million in debt on the property and you're paying a 5% simple interest, you have a $50,000 tax deduction each year. If you owe, if you have a $100,000 home equity line that would take you to $1.1 million combined, you can also write off the interest on that too. When you get over that amount, so listen carefully, if you're thinking about buying a house for $2 million and putting down just $500,000, you'll be borrowing $1.5 million. Well, if you borrow $1 million and $100,000, you can actually protect that amount, but anything over that that you're borrowing is not something that is tax deductible. Be wary of that. Make sure you get good financial advice. I'll be right back with more of The Eric Stewart Show right after this brief break.